Hello, VAC. It's a privilege to join with you in this way and in this season. The passage of scripture that's been rolling through my brain a lot lately is in 2 Timothy 2, where it says, God's word is not chained. Great reminder. God's word is not chained, and I would add, neither is his spirit. And Father, we pray that you will unleash your word and your spirit in these days, in our lives, and in our community. In Jesus' name, amen. You remember that old song, Take This Job and Shove It? Kind of has a different feel today than it did a few weeks ago. You know, maybe there was a time when you would have said that, but right now you kind of wish you could get back to your job. But think back to the old days when you were tired of your work. I heard about a man who saved up enough money in an account to cover a year's worth of his salary. And he took his bank statement to his boss, and he had a very special name for this account that is NSFC, NCSF, not safe for church anyway. But he took this account to the boss and said, I'm just letting you know, I've got what I need. I can walk. I don't need you. I'm independent. And he really just wanted to let his boss know that he wasn't independent, that he didn't need the boss, that the boss better treat him nice. And that kind of freedom and independence is something I think we all crave. Self-sufficiency appeals to us in a lot of ways. I think a big part of the rush back in the Y2K thing of 1999 was this desire to be independent, to live free from society and all the supports of government and society. And we're seeing a bit of the same thing right now, especially among a certain group of people. There's a group of people right now who are really loving what's going on. I think you know who they are. The preppers, at least some of the preppers. They are loving it right now. This is what they've been waiting for in some ways. You know, I think there's probably also some Hutterite colonies and others who aren't terribly concerned. And being independent, wanting to be independent, in itself is not a bad thing. In 1 Thessalonians 4, we read, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, mind your own business, work with your hands, so your daily life may win the respect of others, and you will not be dependent on anybody. Independence is okay. It's a worthy goal in some measure, except when we try to import it into our relationship with God. Now, we're still in our 2020 Vision series, talking about getting clear what it means to follow Jesus. We look at all kinds of different things, loving God and loving people and being holy and taking up our cross and following him, abiding in Christ. When I studied this question several years ago, trying to answer the question, what does it mean to follow Jesus? The trait we're looking at today quickly rose up. It shows up in Jesus' life, in his teaching. It's all over the place in the book of Acts. It shows up in the letters. It even shows up very close to the end of the Bible. Here's some key passages. John 15, verse 5. I'm the vine, you're the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. 2 Corinthians 12. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is perfected in weakness. Therefore, I will boast more gladly in my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest on me. That's why, for the sake of Christ, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships and persecutions, in difficulties. For when I'm weak, that I'm strong. Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So what's the character trait that's kind of lurking in the background of all those verses? It's not self-sufficiency. It's not independence. It's something I call God-dependence. A follower of Jesus is someone who has woven into the being of their character, part of their spiritual DNA. They love God, they love people, all those things, but they're also, today, God-dependent. Very simple outline we're going to look at today. We're going to look at the foundational attitudes of God-dependence and the resulting actions. The very first person I had the privilege of leading to the Lord was a man named Grant from the inner city of Regina. And Grant, as I recall correctly, had struggled with alcohol, broken free, but had lost a lot in the journey. And as I shared the gospel with him, you know, the part where the bad news part of the good news, where we're all sinners, we've done wrong and all that, he was getting quite agitated. And finally, he interrupted me, said, I know I'm a sinner. I know I need forgiveness. What do I do about it? And when he heard how Jesus had died for him to pay the price of all the wrong things he'd done, he just ate it up. It was like a thirsty man finding some fresh water. And he visibly changed before our eyes when Jesus took up residence. Now, in contrast to Grant's response, I've often had a much different experience with people from, you know, more respectable backgrounds. As I share the bad news with them about the nature of our sin and that, they will say often something like, yeah, I'm not really a bad person. I know people in church who are far worse than me, and, you know, I'm not Hitler, I'm not Osama bin Laden, I'm not a serial killer, I don't really deserve hell. And it raises the question, are people in, you know, the upper strata of society less sinful than those in the lower strata? Not a snowball's chance in the Okanagan in July. There is self-righteousness in every strata of society, but it sometimes seems that humility comes easier to people in humble circumstances. Now, behind this character quality of God dependence is the foundational attitude of humility. In both the Old Testament and New Testament portions of the Bible, the word says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. What does that mean? Well, it means that God doesn't help those who don't think they need help, but he's completely available to those who are desperate. He opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Let me ask, do you need God? Well, yes, you do. But do you know you need God? The follower of Jesus has woven into their DNA the knowledge and conviction that says, I need God desperately. Are you there today? Have you ever seen your own heart? I've had glimpses of my own heart. I know what great evil I'm capable of. I have a brother in a psych ward. He'll be there forever for killing his wife. I come from the same physical DNA, the same family background. I know the only thing that separates me and him really is the grace of God. And because of what I know, it's pretty much impossible for me to look at another person and think I'm better than them, because I know that apart from God, I'm in the sewer. I really do know that. I really do believe that. I know it's true for me. But I also know it's true for you. Do you know that it's true for you? God doesn't help those who don't think they need help, but he's completely available to those who are desperate. A follower of Jesus Christ knows they need God desperately. In addition to humility, there's another foundational attitude that shows up in those who are God-dependent. We read in Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe he exists and rewards those who earnestly seek him. Faith. While humility says, I need God, faith adds, he can and he will help me. I need God, he can and he will help me. Christ followers know they need God. That's humility. But they also know God can and will help them. That's faith. One day Jesus was teaching. He gave us famous lines, ask and you'll receive, seek and you'll find. But then he asked this question. He said, dads, if you have a son who wants some bread, are you going to give him a stone? Let me just think about that for a second. Dads, you have a son who's hungry. He asks for some food. Do you give him a rock? Here, son, chew on this. But dad, this is a rock. Well, yes, son, but it's nice pink Oyama shale. Good stuff. Dig in. It's ridiculous. Jesus then asked, if your son asks for fish, will you give him a snake? The answer is easy and it's obvious. The answer is no, of course not. But then Jesus said, if you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Do you know you need God? No matter how together your life seems to be. Do you know that God can and will help, no matter how messed up your life seems to be? Humility and faith, being able to say, I need God, he can and he will help me, is foundational to the character quality of God dependence. Now, where there's faith and humility, two deep-rooted attitudes and convictions, there's bound to be a visible expression of that, some response, some action. God dependence, founded on humility and faith, results in some specific actions. I'm going to move through five of them fairly quickly. Prayer, gratitude, peace, boldness, and reliance on the Holy Spirit. Prayer. Jim Cimbala of Brooklyn Tabernacle said, when we don't pray, it's primarily because we don't sense our need for God. Someone who is God-dependent will have a conviction that I need God, he can and will help me. And one of the actions arising from that conviction is prayer. Now, I used to pray because I thought I had to pray. That's what Christians do, kind of as a duty. But then I discovered I really do need God. He can and he will help me. And the way that my need gets connected to his resources is through prayer. So I no longer pray because I'm supposed to pray. I pray because I need to pray. I pray because I need God to intervene in my life, to break through my stubbornness, my self-centeredness, my weakness, my fear. I pray because I need God. And God is able and willing to help me. And he says, ask and seek and knock. We read about the early church in Acts chapter 2 that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Why did prayer so thoroughly permeate the early church? It's because they knew they needed God. And they knew how willing and able God was to meet their need. Do we know that? Do you? When we do, prayer just shows up naturally. Gratitude is another action. When we know that all we have comes from God, that every good and perfect gift is from above, that he's the only thing keeping us from total disaster, we'll be grateful. Philippians chapter 4, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Talks about praying with gratitude, and the result is peace. And that's another action or result of God dependence, peace. I heard about a couple who planned a honeymoon in Hawaii, and so in preparation, they took scuba lessons in a pool. The idea they'd go scuba diving on their honeymoon. So they get married, go to Hawaii on their honeymoon, go diving. They get in one of those charter dive boats, head out into the ocean. And the boat stopped in one of those transition areas where the outer ocean kind of meets a reef and there's these waves and it's a bit unsettled and it's pretty choppy. And as a result, the bride had trouble getting her gear on, trouble getting in the water. Once she got in the water, she was just bobbing up and down, scared to go under because it was so rough. And she was in danger of being thrown back against the boat. So her loving new husband comes over and makes sure the mouthpiece is solidly in her mouth and grabs her and drags her underwater. And all of a sudden, just a few feet down, calm, peace, safety. The Bible talks about the peace that transcends all understanding. That's the peace that makes no sense based on circumstances. This is the peace that comes from knowing you need God, but also knowing he can and he will help you. Doesn't mean the storm's over. Doesn't mean the seas are calm, but it does mean you know that when all is said and done, you're going to be okay. Then there's boldness. In Acts chapter 4, the disciples were threatened and told to talk to nobody about Jesus anymore. They said, no, we're going to keep talking about Jesus. And so they got together and they prayed. They were filled with the Holy Spirit again, and they spoke the word of God boldly. Which brings us to the fifth action tied to God dependence, reliance on the Spirit. Jim Cimbala again. God is attracted to our weakness. He can't resist those who humbly and honestly admit how desperately they need him. Our weakness, in fact, makes room for God's power. And again, we have the example of the early church that relied on his leading and guiding constantly as they faced new challenges. They go to prayer, ask for help. The Lord would fill them afresh with his Spirit. This gave them boldness and direction and wisdom and perseverance and focus, miracle-working power, all the things we admire about the early church. So let me remind you again. If you've repented of your sins, put your faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit of God himself is dwelling in you. I am indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. It's not a metaphor. It's not saying, you know, God is close to us, he loves us, he's with us, it's kind of like he's inside us. No. The Holy Spirit of God is actually dwelling in you. I'm indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. Say it. I'm indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. He's there to help you understand and apply the word, to give you direction and wisdom and boldness and power, even miracle-working power. He's there to help you build up and encourage other believers in the faith, as well as bring others to faith in Jesus. He's there to make you more like Jesus every day. Indwelt by the Spirit of the living God. What a great, great truth. If you're desperate for God today, desperate for his help and his intervention, his wisdom, his direction, his power, you are a candidate to receive his help. God is attracted to our weakness. He can't resist those who humbly and honestly admit how desperately they need him. Our weakness, in fact, makes room for his power. Well, let's make room for his power right now. I want you to think of a specific situation in which you or someone you know is desperate for God's intervention today. right now where you sit, present that situation to the Lord. Tell him about it, the crisis, the problem that's put you or that person you know and love in a place of desperation. Just do that right now. Take a moment briefly, lift it up to him. And once you've done that, I want you to ask the Lord this question. Lord, what do you want me to do about this situation? What's my role? Ask him. And then pay attention. Pay attention to the answer, to any specific direction he gives you right now. It may be something you're already thinking about. It may be something you would never think of. It may be something that scares you or humbles you or something you don't want to do. But you've asked, and he's answered or will answer. And now, ask for the power to do it, and in his strength, choose to obey. I encourage you to get someone to pray with you about it, either someone you know or someone you can contact and pray. You can talk to the pastors, the prayer team. There's a prayer request button right on the screen. God dependence, a key trait of a follower of Jesus Christ, grows from a foundation of faith and humility where we say, I need God. He can and he will help me. And those attitudes, convictions result in prayer and gratitude and peace and boldness and reliance on the Spirit. And God dependence, like all of the traits we're looking at today, is a place we are intended to park. We are to live there. We're to rest there. And so, Lord, I pray every one of us today, right now, would know that we need you desperately, but know that you are right there, willing and able, desiring to help, and that we would ask, we would seek, we would knock, we'd open the door to your intervention. Again, if you want prayer for any reason at all, please let someone know. Your pastors are still 100% available. Be sure to make use of the online resources, including the VAC Kid resources, the teaching on how to do communion at home. And if you receive some specific direction from the Lord, follow through boldly. Jesus said in John 15:5, I am the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, you'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. We need God desperately, but he can and he will help us. And may that same Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he turn his face towards you and grant you his peace.